Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and playwright Young Jean Lee has been called the most adventurous downtown playwright of her generation. So what to make of her latest work? Set in the den of a regular old ranch house in the middle of the country, about a widowed father and his three adult sons who have gathered for the Christmas holidays. Of course, since it's called Straight White Men, you might suspect there's more than meets the eye in this production. The play officially opens tonight at the Public Theater, and Young Jean Lee is back with us now. Hi.
Hi.
So where's the adventure in depicting more straight white men in the theater? Huh. I understand there was a complaint about how many plays there already were that could have that title that inspired the name.
Yes. Well, that was the biggest challenge of the piece. You know, I start all of my shows by asking myself, you know, what's sort of like what would be my worst nightmare to try to pull off? And the idea of making a show about straight white male identity, that felt like an identity politics play. Where it was specifically where, you know, because there are a lot of plays about straight white men, but they tend to present straight white men as sort of the default human. So it's very universalized. You know, they just represent people. And I feel like, you know, For years, straight white men were the default human, and now things are changing, and now suddenly straight white men are being confronted with this unpleasant experience of being labeled as straight white men and having this sort of identity thrust upon them as something they have to be aware of.
And so to that point, though, I haven't seen the play. I understand these are not what you might call David Mamet characters, right? The father is very liberal in his politics and his donations to good causes. Their mother, one gathers, tried to raise her sons to be very aware of their privileged place in society. But is whether a straight white man can live a morally sound life an open question in the play, almost on an identity politics group basis?
You know, yes, it, but it's not, you know, although the play does focus specifically on a straight white man who is grappling with this issue and the sort of specifics, the things that are specific to his issues. I mean, for me, the play is really about my own questions about, you know, how to live an ethical life when I'm somebody who says that I care about social justice, but when you look at how I live my life, my actual system of value seems to revolve around ambition and sort of furthering my personal goals. And so for me, that's, you know, that's what the play ended up being about for me. When I was looking for my point of identification with straight white men and like where I could have empathy, I realized that you know, for me, I have a little bit of a get out of jail free card. You know, as a woman of color, you know, my success, I can say, oh, I'm making the world more diverse. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm just by doing whatever I want, I am, you know, furthering the cause of, you know, social change. But a straight white man has a much harder time making that argument.
No matter what good work they try to do.
Exactly.
And so the central problem, as I understand it, that the characters concern themselves with is that the oldest brother seems to have lost his way in trying to do good. His brothers are a banker and a successful writer slash professor. Each of the others has a different idea of what the oldest needs to do to get his life together and his, quote, confidence back. So for all the hand-wringing over privilege, woe to you if you're a straight white man who doesn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, the way that this whole play came about was I was sitting in a room full of queer people and women and minorities, and they were just ranting about straight white men, you know, like how angry they were, and the level of vitriol. I was just like, hey guys, you know, given that mass genocide, we all agree that that is not a solution, you know, what do you want these guys to do? And so they gave me a list of all the things they wanted straight white men to do. And so I went home and I wrote a character that just fit all of those requirements that they had put down. And I brought him into the room and they all hated him. And that was what fascinated, you know, and then I just became instantly fascinated. And I was like, what this tells me is that as much as we're talking about social justice, blah, 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 you know, what our value system actually revolves around is not being a loser. So even though this guy had all the qualities they wanted, he, you know, because of this, he was perceived as a loser, and that was more repulsive than anything else.
And so thinking that identity issues have figured into most of your works, from your own Korean and Korean-American identity in Songs of the Dragon, Flying to Heaven, to African-American stereotypes in The Shipment, and now straight white men. Is this assigning straight white men kind of an ethnic identity separate from, if you're the default status, you don't have an ethnic identity.
Right.
If you're the default human. Once you do, maybe it's a sign that their privilege is going away in a country where, you know, there's not going to be any ethnic majority in a few decades.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's where things are moving. And that's what's so fascinating to me about seeing straight white men. It's just the beginning, right? You know, it's just starting. And seeing them having to deal with this change is really interesting, you know, because it's, you know, what's actually happening to straight white men compared to what has happened to queer people, women, and minority, you know, it's still just the tip of the iceberg. But they're, because it's so new, I feel like they're experiencing it really in this sort of catastrophic way.
So do you think about this at the university level, like the idea of white identity or offering white studies in college? You know, which to the extent that it exists at all has carried a whiff of Aryan Nation type stuff, or it's a privileged studies. I know one school that has a kind of white studies club, mm-hmm. and it's sort of a let's acknowledge our privileged status, you know, kind of talking group. When is it okay to write about white ethnicity?
I mean, I feel like people are already doing it. You know, I feel like it's, you know, there's so much, it's starting. You know, there's more and more interest every day, you know, because I get like the Google alerts for, you know, straight white men. And it's just, you know, every day there's more and more interest in this topic. So, yeah.
That's pretty funny. So you get Google alerts on this. And what comes across the transom other than reviews of your play?
I mean, you know, it's a lot of, there's a lot of straight white male outrage, you know, like outraged, articles about straight white male privilege and then, you know, responding articles that are completely outraged
those. The midterm elections, the revenge of the straight white male.
Yes. I mean, just, you know, it's every month, actually every month it increases.
You're known for collaborating with your cast. And since they are white men, no idea about the straight part, how important was what they brought to the play?
Oh, well, you know, the play, it has, you know, all to do with the sort of like what straight white men are like when they're alone together and like sibling dynamics. And I'm an only child, you know, I'm a Korean American female. I just had no idea about any of this stuff, you know, like I have no idea what straight, you know, men are like when I'm not around. And so there was just tons of improv, you know, I would just make them improv. So, you know, say you're walking down the street and you see a guy you haven't seen in 10 years, you know, it's like, what's your physicality with each other? You know, like, do you hug? You know, like they just improvised every detail of their life in every possible situation until I sort of understood what that dynamic was.
Austin Pendleton plays the father.
Yes.
In the play. And he's a very recognizable actor, but also a director. Is it intimidating directing a director?
You know, it's actually, you know, Austin is not your typical big deal director. You know, he's like a very humble, down-to-earth guy. And so it was actually kind of, I think I used to refer to him as my magic bullet, because whenever there was like a problem I couldn't solve, I would just bring it up and then Austin would immediately have the perfect solution. So it was actually this wonderful shortcut where he didn't keep his director brain on, but when I asked him to turn it on, he would just flip it on, give me the answer, and then shut it back off.
I'm told that the t-shirts for sale in the lobby bear the slogan, destroy the audience.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, when we premiered this show, it was in Ohio at the Wexner Center, and the show was just such a rip-roaring crowd pleaser. You know, the audience was almost entirely white. They were just howling with laughter, you know, so happy. And, you know, I felt like I had made like some version of like a Tyler Perry movie for white people. You know, it was just, they were just enjoying themselves so much. And and I really did not like that. You know, that's not the effect that I want to have on an audience. I want them disturbed. I want them thinking about the show afterwards. Like I want them, you know, feeling really shaken up. And that's what destroy the audience means.
So you want these t-shirts left in a crumpled heap by the end of the play.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, it reminds me of a segment we were doing recently. Was a history segment about the 1990s. And what came up was that famous or infamous Whitney Biennial, where they gave out buttons. It was very identity-oriented, Whitney Biennial that year, and they gave out buttons to all the patrons that said, I can't imagine liking to be white. Do you remember that? Did you ever know about that?
I had no idea.
That didn't figure in your research.
No, it never came up.
And, of course, it was a riff on self-hate in communities of color. But trying to turn it around and make white people look at even the possibility of ever having a feeling.
Well,
like that
is happening, you know, and I feel like the play sort of addresses, you know, because that's self-hatred is what comes along with getting pigeonholed into these identities.
Exactly. So 20 years later, that goes from just being, you know, a little bit of a stick in the eye satire to something that's actually going on in society. So what kinds of reactions are you getting? We have 30 seconds left.
Just so far, it's just been across the board, disturbance, devastation. I mean, the audience can barely applaud after the show because they've been, I mean, I've heard people feel so brutalized emotionally by the experience that they're just not even in the mood to like hoot and holler. So it's,
after the Gettysburg Address.
I don't know, but I love it.
Hopefully with as much insight along with the devastation. Straight White Men opens officially today and plays through December 7th at the Public Theater on Lafayette Street near Astor Place. We thank the playwright, Young Jean Lee.
Thank you
so much.